Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix. Today, I'll be reading articles dated March 26, 2025. And here are today's headlines. Prescott's open space protection ballot language approved for August the 5th ballot. Prescott Valley Police host Refuse to Be a Victim class, summer edition. And celebrate the season with Easter festivities at Pine Ridge Marketplace. And here are your details. Prescott's open space protection ballot language approved for August the 5th ballot by Cindy Barks. The ballot wording for a proposition that supporters say would close the circle on the community's efforts to preserve city-owned open space got Prescott City Council approval this week, but just barely. In a 3-0-2 vote, on Tuesday, March the 25th, the Prescott City Council approved the language for Proposition 484, a measure set to go to voters on August the 5th, seeking to add a level of protection to open space parcels that the city has acquired, but that are not specifically protected in the city charter. Although five city council members were present at the meeting, with Councilman Brandon Montoya and Eric Moore absent, City Attorney Joseph Young noted that the city charter requires that approval of the resolution for the ballot language action would require an affirmative vote by a majority of the entire governing body or four of the seven council members. That presented a situation in which two of the five council members present at the meeting had earlier voted against the proposition measure. On February 25, 2025, the City Council approved the charter language for the proposition and the call for the election in a 5-2 vote with Mayor Phil Good and Councilman Ted Gambogi voting against the action. Several speakers at this week's meeting urged the council to approve the ballot language with at least four votes to ensure that the proposition moves forward. Good, noting that he had objections to the restrictions that the proposition would put on the council, said he planned to abstain from the vote. Still, he pointed out, as you know from the city charter, an abstention counts as an affirmative vote. Gambogi, who also abstained from the vote, making the final council tally 3 in favor and 2 abstentions, which are affirmative votes. After the meeting, City Clerk Sarah Seip said that the vote means that the proposition would appear on the August 5th primary ballot without further council action. Young led off the discussion by explaining that while the earlier council action had ensured that the measure would be on the August 5th ballot, the official ballot language had yet to be decided. He added that several changes and corrections that the council had requested had since been incorporated into the proposed language. One of the changes was to include the Watson Woods Riparian Preserve acreage in the proposition language, while another was to correct typographical errors in the wording for the Little Thumb Butte parcel. After those changes, Young said that the open space parcels included in the proposition would total 2,746 acres, adding that to the 1,259 acres already protected in the charter, he said. So, 4,000 5 acres would be protected through our charter as open space. Prescott Valley Police to host Refuse to be a Victim class, summer edition. The Prescott Valley Police Community Services Unit will host the NRA-certified Refuse to be a Victim program from 1 to 4 p.m. on Thursday, May 29th, in the Prescott Valley Police Department training room at 7601 East Skoog Boulevard. This class is our kickoff to the unofficial start of summer. We have some fun things in store. This free community class is open to any Quad Cities resident ages 18 and older and is limited to 50 attendees. Registration fills up fast for these classes, so make sure that you sign up early. To enroll, you can send an email to Police Community Services Supervisor Jody Mullins at jmullins@prescottvalley-az.gov. In the email, please include the following information for each person you are enrolling: name, address, email, and phone number. Registration is open now unless the capacity is reached sooner. This informative program is designed to help residents create a personal safety plan covering areas of mental preparedness, physical security, home security, technological security, and automobile security, as well as pros and cons of personal protection devices. Come to join hundreds of local residents who have taken this class to refuse to be a victim. Celebrate the season with Easter festivities at Pine Ridge Marketplace. Pine Ridge Marketplace is gearing up for a fun-filled spring celebration as Hop Till You Drop returns, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, April the 12th, offering families a day of free entertainment and seasonal activities. Meet and greets with the Holiday Hopper will continue daily from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. through April 19th. The family-friendly event, April 12th, will feature a special visit from the Easter Bunny, offering photos to capture the joy of the season. Guests can enjoy a variety of activities, including balloon twisting, face painting, and a meet and greet with enchanting woodland fairies. Starting Point Church will host a kids' activity station offering cotton candy, popcorn, and interactive fun for all to enjoy. Spring is a time for gathering and making memories, and we're thrilled to bring the community together for a fun and festive celebration, said Angie Rude, creative director at Pine Ridge Marketplace. From playful activities and sweet treats to special moments with the Easter Bunny, there's something for everyone to enjoy. Families are welcome to stop by, meet the Easter Bunny, and snap their own extra special moments throughout the week. Hop Till You Drop is designed for children ages 12 and under while supplies last. Activities are subject to change. More information on Hop Till You Drop and other events at Pine Ridge Marketplace, please visit pineridgemarketplace.com/events or follow us at Shop Pine Ridge. Legislators seek to add AI restriction to revenge porn statute by Howard Fisher. Phoenix. State lawmakers are moving to close a technologically created loophole in a law designed to prevent victims against revenge porn. But the measure approved in an 8-1 margin Wednesday by the House Judiciary Committee has raised concerns that in an effort to plug that loophole, it subjects more people to possible felony charges. In 2016, Arizona law already makes it a felony to distribute nude or sexually explicit photos of other without their consent. These often arise from situations when a relationship ends and the jilted partner decides to make public naked photos of the other person, photos that may have been made with that person's consent, but clearly were not meant to be shared. And what made it more problematic, according to Senator J.D. Mesnard, who crafted the original law, was the ability not to just create the images with smartphones, but be able to share them widely on the internet. But on Wednesday, the Chandler Republicans said yet another advancement has created a new problem. The exciting and frightening technology of artificial intelligence. Simply put, Mesnard said that Scientific Leap now allows someone to generate very realistic nude pictures that are then shared for the purpose of hurting somebody. But he said that since what's been shared online isn't an actual photo of someone, that isn't forbidden under the existing law. His SB 1462 is designed to close that gap. A very realistic nude, very realistic looking nude picture, but that's not technically of the person, is used to harass and hurt the person, generally a woman, could be captured in this statute, Mesnard explained to lawmakers in explaining the need for the change. Mesnard could not get the measure approved as originally crafted after it raised concerns from the Arizona chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. I think that the bill violates the First Amendment without some sort of protection for persons who are engaged in parody, artistic expression, political speech, said lobbyist Marilyn Rodriguez. She said courts have concluded that these are protected, even if it is a vulgar image of a politician. Those images may harm a politician or a famous person, but can also be protected speech, she said. And Rodriguez said she doubts that is what Mesnard is trying to prevent. Mesnard agreed to alter the measure to create exceptions for an image made in the public interest, including scientific or education activities, newsworthy, or on an issue of public concern. But Rodriguez has made it clear that her organization still has concerns about the breadth of the measure, especially the possibility of someone being subject to a prison term of 2.5 years. She said that it is so broad that it applies to someone who takes a picture of someone else who the person sees or knows and digitally alters it. It is far less intimate, Rodriguez said, than the original law that involves sending out photos that someone has shared in a relationship. I certainly wonder if it deserves a Class 4 felony designation, she said. It certainly seems like it is criminalizing far more conduct than just the original revenge porn statute. Prescott Celtic Concert Series presents Diem on April the 3rd. One of Scotland's most celebrated traditional bands, Diem, will perform in Prescott on Thursday, April the 3rd, as part of the Prescott Celtic Concert Series. The event will take place at First Congregational Church, located at 216 East Gurley Street, with doors opening at 5:30 and the concert beginning at 6 p.m. Based in West Loch Eber and the Isle of Skye, Diam has built an international reputation as a leading force in Highland and Gaelic music. The band's name, derived from the Gaelic word for connection, captures the band's dynamic interplay, both among its members and with audiences, at their captivating live performances worldwide. In addition to the concert, attendees will also have the opportunity to purchase Diam's CDs, as well as a selection of Scottish-themed items, including fresh homemade shortbread, Celtic books, imbrew, Scottish tea, and Rocky Road fudge. Ticket prices are $30 for adults, $15 for college students, and free for attendees 18 and under. Payments will be accepted by cash or check only. For more information, contact David McNabb at 928-771-1218. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. If you miss a program, you can also get it on demand. From our website, choose Broadcast Info and Audio, and then On Demand. Next, we'll turn to the Features page of the Prescott Daily Courier, starting with To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, can you please explain what is cholesterol, high-density lipoprotein, and the significance of high HDL cholesterol value? What about non-HDL cholesterol? I have had cholesterol tests for the past 30 years with HDL readings that had a low of 68 milligrams per deciliter and a high of 117 milligrams per deciliter. The first two of my first degree relatives also have high HDL cholesterol levels, and although they have high blood pressure, neither has had any blockages in their arteries. For the past 9 years, my average total cholesterol is 206 milligrams per deciliter, my HDL is 104 milligrams per deciliter, and my LDL is 89 milligrams per deciliter. My triglyceride count is 70 milligrams per deciliter. My cholesterol high-density lipoprotein is 2.2, and my non-HDL cholesterol is 101 milligrams per deciliter. I have a diagnosis of hyperlipidemia because of my total cholesterol being over 200 milligrams per deciliter, and one doctor suggested starting a statin. I don't understand the hyperlipidemia diagnosis. As taken individually, each lab value is within normal range, but the high HDL pushes the total over 200 milligrams per deciliter. Answer. High HDL cholesterol is generally protective against heart disease, so it is often called the healthy cholesterol. Unfortunately, few things in medicine are absolute, and there is a subset of people with high HDL cholesterol who have an increased risk for heart disease. Here, I mean the type of heart disease that causes blockages in the arteries and leads to heart attacks. In these cases, high HDL cholesterol is not normal. For this reason, I pay attention to a patient's family history, and yours suggests that your HDL is probably associated with a lower risk of heart disease. Total cholesterol divided by HDL cholesterol is one attempt to give a single number to express a person's risk, and in this case, the lower number, the better. However, I don't find this particularly helpful and consider both the absolute LDL cholesterol and HDL cholesterol. Non-HDL cholesterol is simply the total cholesterol minus the HDL cholesterol. Non-HDL cholesterol gives similar information about the risk of heart disease as LDL cholesterol, but the non-HDL cholesterol is typically about 30 milligrams per deciliter higher than the LDL. Although hyperlipidemia is sometimes defined by a total cholesterol above 200 milligrams per deciliter, it doesn't make any sense in your case, just as you suggest, because your LDL cholesterol and HDL cholesterol are both in the desirable range. The decision to start a statin should be made by taking a holistic look at your heart disease risk. Traditional risk factors like cholesterol, blood pressure, age, and sex should be considered along with other risk factors like diet, exercise, stress, and family history that are not often used by calculators. In addition, people with inflammatory diseases like rheumatoid arthritis are at a much higher risk for heart disease than what would be expected by their cholesterol alone. Additional test results, such as LPA and a high-sensitive C-reactive protein test, can give you additional information on your risk. A look at coronary artery calcification gives even more information and may be appropriate in cases where the decision to start a statin isn't clear. I don't think of statin drugs as cholesterol drugs. Instead, they are better thought of as ways to reduce your risk of heart disease. Not everybody with high cholesterol needs a statin, but just as important, not everyone who would benefit from a statin has high cholesterol. That is why a holistic view is so critical, since all of a person's risks get considered. And next we'll turn to Dear Annie by Annie Lane. Dear Annie, I'm struggling on how to handle my mother-in-law, Karen. My husband, Jake, and I have been married for 5 years, and we just had our first baby, Emily, 3 months ago. Since Emily was born, Karen has been over constantly. At first, I appreciated her help, but now it feels like she's taking over. She drops by unannounced, critiques how I feed and dress Emily, and insists on holding her the entire time that she's here. If I take Emily back, Karen pounces or says passive-aggressive things like, "I guess I'm not needed." She once even commented on how quickly I'm dropping the baby weight, which I guess was supposed to be a compliment, but it makes me uncomfortable. Jake thinks it's no big deal, but it's making me anxious in my own home. I don't want to start a big fight, but I don't want to feel like I'm competing with my own child's grandmother. How do I set boundaries without causing a family rift? Signed, Feeling Pushed Aside. Dear Pushed Aside, boundaries aren't about starting fights. They're about protecting your well-being. Talk to Jake first and let him know how important it is that you feel in control of your own home, especially now that you have a baby. Together, you can calmly but firmly communicate some ground rules to Karen. If she pouts or makes a passive-aggressive comment, let her. It's not your responsibility to manage her emotions. Dear Annie, my younger sister, Mia, is getting married in a few months, and what should be an exciting time has turned into a nightmare. I am her maid of honor, but instead of feeling honored, I feel like her personal assistant. She sends me endless texts about wedding details, expects me to be available 24/7, and gets upset if I can't drop everything to help her. Last week, she asked me to redo her bridal shower plans because she wasn't feeling the theme after I had already put down a deposit. When I pushed back, she got teary and said that I was ruining her big moment. Our mom tells me to just keep going along with it to keep the peace, but I'm exhausted and resentful. I love my sister and I want her day to be special, but I don't want to be treated like an unpaid wedding planner. Help. Signed, Burnt Out Maid of Honor. Dear Burnt Out, the duties of a maid of honor don't include being at the bride's beck and call. Yes, it's her day, but that doesn't give her carte blanche to take her family's generosity for granted. Let her know that you are happy to support her, but simply can't be available 24/7. As for the bridal shower, remind her that changes at this point aren't realistic. If she insists, let her handle it. Your mom's advice to keep the peace comes at your expense. You are allowed to protect your time and your energy. You have been listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.